Radio Prague News.
Czech military equipment has appeared in an Azerbaijani army video, despite a ban on sales. A Czech teenager has won the EU contest for young scientists. And actress Květa Fialová has died at the age of 88. Czech-made military hardware has appeared in a promotional video for the Azerbaijani army, despite the fact that the Czech Republic has an official embargo against supplying such products to the country. Hospodářské noviny reports it on Tuesday. The items in question are the Dana artillery piece and the RM-70 rocket launcher. A spokesperson for the Azerbaijani army said it had acquired the equipment from the Czech Republic. Its producer, Czechoslovak Group, says it adhered to all laws and regulations regarding sales. However, the Czech authorities and secret services are looking into the matter, said Hospodářské noviny. The winner of the main category in the European Union contest for young scientists this year was Karina Movsesyan, an 18-year-old from the Czech town of Karlovy Vary. Her research was in the field of cancer inception and explored how a particular protein mutates. Movsesyan is a student of biotechnology at Masaryk University in Brno. Květa Fialová, one of the leading Czech actresses of her generation, died on Tuesday at the age of 88 after a career of almost seven decades. Born in what's today Slovakia, she was known for her stage, film and TV work. Fialová was hired by Jan Verich for his Divadlo ABC theatre in the late 1950s and appeared in a host of popular movies, including Lemonade Joe, Dinner for Adela and Closely Observed Trains. The Czech Republic has been judged the world's unhealthiest country by Clinic Compare, a UK clinic comparison website. It collated information from the World Health Organization, the CIA World Factbook, and the World Lung Association, and ranked each state according to three factors: alcohol consumption, tobacco consumption, and obesity levels. The study's authors said residents of the Czech Republic consumed an average of 13.7 litres of pure alcohol annually and ranked 11th highest in per capita cigarettes smoked a year. Around 90.9 million rail journeys were made in the Czech Republic in the first half of 2017. That's according to figures released on Tuesday by the Ministry of Transport. The number was 1.7 million higher than for the same period the previous year. The total distance covered by passengers rose more sharply by 6.5%. The Czech national soccer team manager Karel Jarolím has called up only one uncapped player, Olomouc's Šimon Falta, for two World Cup qualifiers against Azerbaijan and San Marino. The midfielder, who is 24, has scored three goals and made one assist for his club this season. The Czechs' final World Cup qualifiers in Baku on October 5th and in San Marino 3 days later will be of little consequence, as Jarolím's men are already out of the running for Russia 2018. The weather: it should be cloudy with sunny spells in the Czech Republic on Wednesday, with temperatures of up to around 19 degrees Celsius. My name is Ian Willoughby, and that is the end of the news. Hello, this is Radio Prague with me, Ian Willoughby. Today, Boris Johnson says the rights of Czechs will be protected in the UK following Brexit. Czech doctors perform eye surgery on Syrian refugees in Jordan. And we meet Jan Korselt, a man who jacked in journalism to run a Prague microbrewery with his friends. During talks in Prague on Monday, the UK Foreign Secretary Boris Johnson assured Czech officials that the rights of Czech citizens living and working in Great Britain would be protected after Brexit. He also stressed his country's interest in preserving its close relationship with the Czech Republic. Daniela Lazareva reports.
On the first stop of a tour of European capitals to explain the British position on Brexit outlined by Prime Minister Theresa May in Florence last week, Mr. Johnson went out of his way to underline the close relationship between the two countries and Britain's commitment to preserving and further developing bilateral ties.
We hugely value the contribution of the 45,000 Czech citizens in the UK. They make a huge difference to our lives. Yeah. Their rights are going to be protected and respected for as long as they choose, and they will be guaranteed by the UK courts, which are after all very liberal, very progressive courts already, who will specifically have regard to the jurisprudence of the European Court of Justice.
The British Foreign Secretary reiterated Prime Minister May's promise that the UK would continue to honour all existing European Union rules during the two-year transition period needed to conclude the separation talks. Czech Foreign Minister Lubomír Zaorálek said he was pleased to hear that Britain wanted to forge a close and special partnership with the European Union, and said Prague was interested in reaching an agreement that would be beneficial for both sides.
I was particularly pleased to hear that Britain has pledged to respect its financial commitments to the EU and sees the need to continue cooperation in the area of security, defence and development aid. Those are issues of primary importance, and I assured Boris of our commitment to work for a mutually advantageous agreement in all areas.
Mr. Zaorálek welcomed the British Foreign Secretary's assurances regarding the rights of Czech citizens in Great Britain and said the Czech Republic was greatly interested in preserving the volume of trade with its fourth biggest trading partner. The Czech Foreign Minister documented the country's good trade relations with the United Kingdom by giving his guest a British product sold in the Czech Republic, a ping pong set sold under the name Little Boris. Boris Johnson was clearly amused and had a ready reply.
I hadn't seen one before, but anyway, I'm delighted to find that they're sold here in Prague. If this is ping pong, what I would respectfully say is that the ball is now in your court, as it were, our friends and partners in the European Union, and we look forward to seeing you how we can get it back over the net and continue this conversation. We want to build a deep and special partnership with our friends in the EU, but with nowhere more than the Czech Republic is that partnership important to us. This is a historic friendship. It goes back to the time when Czech pilots flew side by side with the RAF, and it's our purpose, our mission, to make sure that partnership endures and goes from strength to strength.
That was UK Foreign Secretary Boris Johnson speaking in Prague on Monday. Now, Czech doctors annually perform around 1,000 surgical operations on Syrian refugees in Jordan. The assistance, which is for free, comes within the Czech government's humanitarian aid program Medevac, which helps people in regions afflicted by war. Daniela Lazareva has more.
One of the medical teams that regularly travel to Jordan is a team of Czech ophthalmologists who perform eye surgery on children and adults with inborn defects or war injuries.
Left eye.
Yeah. Dr. Yeti Bashta gives directions to a patient as he operates on her eyes. He laughs at his newfound linguistic skills.
To mě naučil tady Honey, to znamená,
Honey taught me a few expressions I need to communicate with the patient, things like open your eyes or look into the light. So when I say ta ala ala dao, they know what to do.
Different specialists from the Czech Republic take turns performing surgery and treating refugees in Jordan all year round. Since the aid program started, financial aid for it has doubled to around 30 million crowns annually for Jordan alone. In the 2 weeks he has just spent in Amman, Dr. Bashta operated on more than 100 people. He says news of the Czech aid program spreads by word of mouth and the interest among refugees is huge.
The hospital where we are working is perfectly equipped for the job. They have the most modern equipment available, and this work makes sense. The refugees here have reached a safe haven, and it's possible to help them start a new life. I'm very happy to be able to do that.
Hanan Kabani is one of the many patients who has undergone surgery here. She's a teacher who fled from Damascus with her family.
I heard about the possibility of having this eye surgery from a friend, so I asked for medical attention, and a few days later they told me when the surgery would take place. It was a success, and the Czech doctors were very kind to me.
Hanan is now waiting to have her other eye operated on. She has been displaced for 6 years, now lives in a small rented flat in Amman, and says the ordeal cost her family almost all their savings.
We spent all our savings here in Amman. There was no way I could afford to pay for eye surgery, so this humanitarian aid program was my only chance.
The Medivac aid program started operating in Jordan 5 years ago. At first, refugees were flown to the Czech Republic for treatment, but this was complicated and costly since it meant ferrying patients and family members to the Czech Republic for treatment that often lasted for several months. Gradually, the pattern changed and Czech specialists were flown to Jordan instead. Now, teams of doctors take turns helping all year round. Between now and December, 6 more teams, including a trauma team and orthopedists, will take turns treating patients for a period of 2 weeks each. The Czech ambassador to Jordan, Petr Hladek, says the recipients of the aid program have also changed over the years.
At the outset, when the conflict was peaking, it was essential to treat refugees with war injuries. Now we are increasingly treating people who can't afford medical attention. We are helping to improve their lives. And by bringing the aid to them here, we are reducing their motivation to travel further afield in search of it.
That was the voice of the Czech ambassador to Jordan, Petr Hladek. Which of us hasn't dreamt of completely changing career at some time in our lives? Well, while most of us never act on such dreams, Jan Korsell did. And he tells us all about his new field, brewing, in this edition of One on One. Jan Korsell was at Reuters for over a decade before jacking in journalism for a different career entirely, running the Vinohradsky Pivovar microbrewery in Prague's Vinohrady district with a group of his buddies. When we spoke over a delicious 11-degree pivo, the conversation took in everything from the best kind of beer glass to the smoking ban imposed in May. But I first asked Jan about the genesis of the brewery.
This is actually a bunch of friends' product or business. Then maybe it's 15 years ago when we first noticed there were microbreweries around. So we traveled to Kácov, we traveled to Bělec u Hradce Králové and other places and enjoying their small beers. And we said, let's do something similar to that in Prague because there were a few places like that. These days you could find 20, maybe 30 microbreweries around Prague. Some of them are great. At the time when we were thinking about our project, there was almost nothing. And those places that existed were tourist-oriented and not very good. So we thought, like, let's do a place where we could reinvent the concept of Czech beer and Czech food. And we were talking about it for 5 years, maybe, and we discussed the idea, and it was like, you know, fun to discuss over a beer. But in the end, we decided we should actually do it, and we did it. It's been 3 years, almost 3 years, since we opened up this place.
Did you take on the name of a previously existing Vinohradsky Pivovar?
Yes. The reason is we are actually renting this space from the Institute or Research Institute of Beer and Malt of the Czech Republic. They are very well known over the world. The institute is really respected. And they own two buildings. One of the buildings is in Lipová, down in the center, and the other building is here. And the rest of the brewery burned down back in 2000.
So this place was a brewery before?
This place was a fermentation cellar of the brewery. We are something like 20 times smaller than the brewery which was closed in 1946. And we have a chance to rebuild the tradition or continue on the tradition, even though none of us, none of the co-owners are or have anything in common with the former brewery.
I want to ask you, you yourself are a former journalist. Has it been a big learning curve getting into the beer business?
Yes, following politics or Czech business makes you a little bit exhausted after 13 years, because you have a chance to get to know about the shady stuff that the people are doing, but you never know the truth. Here you have a chance to actually create stuff, which is fun. You have a chance to taste your beers and you say, this beer is a little too bitter or a little too sweet, let's do it different. So you have a chance to influence the business, like, the very moment.
Well, I wanted to ask you if you yourself played a role in creating your main Jernacka 11 degree lager.
Of course I did, yeah. And me and my friends, actually, because we were sitting over a beer and we were, like, thinking about, like, what's our main product. And our goal was to reinvent the best product or the best known production method for a Czech lager. And the 11 degree beer was an easy target. We are not inventing anything new. Our aim, our goal is not to create new method of making beer. Our goal is, like, get back to the roots and do the beer the best way we can. The beer should be easy drinking, Czech style beer, and that's what we actually achieved, I strongly believe, because people that we have seen in our pub, or that we have seen in the bars that we are delivering beer, they are coming back every day. That's actually what we wanted to do, because at the time, you know, coming back to the microbrewery business 10 years ago, everybody was trying to make their own beer. It's fine. It's good. We loved their beers. But you would not actually come back the next day because the beers were too specific.
So it's kind of an experience you have once, you drink some strong, interesting beer, but you don't want to come back for more.
Exactly. We deliver or we supply pubs and their guests are regulars. So it's not like they would go and taste and they would go elsewhere because they would feel full or exhausted with one type of beer. That's the funny thing about the Czech lager, because it's everyday drinking beer and you should have at least three of them every day.
And is your dedication to tradition why you have gone with these heavy glasses with the kind of dappled glass?
At the time when we were, you know, like, applying for the building permit and waiting for the project actually to happen, we had time to experiment. And for example, we experimented with the glasses and we found out that this glass is absolutely the best for the Czech lager. This glass conserves foam the longest. It makes beer last longer in the quality that you actually want it.
It looks cool also.
And it looks cool as well. But it's the most expensive glass on the market.
After 3 years of running a brewery and a restaurant, do you still enjoy beer as much as you did before?
Of course I do. I still adore many microbreweries. I love to go to Hostivar, I love to go to Unětický pivovar, I love to go to Malešický pivovar, actually. Their beers are great. But the only problem I have is that I have a problem to go to normal supermarket, because there's no beer for me. For me as a consumer, it has become a little more difficult, but...
You'll survive.
Yes, I have my own beer.
Tell us when
it's,
you.
It's fun. It's fun. It pays back in a way, not money, but, you know, people come back to you and they say that your beer is actually one of the best they have ever tasted. So it's fantastic.
Other pubs in Prague and bars also sell your beer. Do you target a particular kind of business to sell your beer to? I mean, I haven't noticed your beer in kind of old school places. I see it more in newer hipster-style places. Is that a deliberate strategy on your part? Or is it simply because new places don't have long-standing relationships with older breweries?
There's a story about it. Our beer is not, it's not the cheapest on the market. So you would not find it in the, you know, cheap pub next door, because it's just our brewmaster makes it basically with his own hands, and he controls all the production process from the very, very beginning until the end, and he controls it from, he makes the brewing process, and then he controls the fermentation process, and then he watches over the beer when it's in the lager cellar. And obviously, it's a little more expensive than beers made in industrial style. So you mentioned the hipster community. You're right in a way. Our best clients are places that actually know what they're eating and what they're drinking. For example, we have unbelievable success in a place which is called Mr. Hot Dog in Letná. They're selling hot dogs. Well, that, you know, like,
but it's a kind of high-end hot dog. It's not like a product.
Yeah, it's cool. Like 100 crowns product, and it comes very naturally with our beer.
So it's for people who are prepared to spend a bit more for quality.
Yes, yes, exactly.
How has the smoking ban impacted your business, or has it impacted your business?
We lost our competitive advantage because we opened up as a non-smoking place 3 years ago. We were one of the few at the time. And since then, people found out that actually non-smoking places are a great business plan. So when the smoking ban was introduced, we actually lost an advantage against our competitors. Because it's so easy, you know, you just ban smoking and suddenly you see families, you see women, you see, you know, civilized people. Who? Some of them are smokers. They would go outside and smoke their cigarette or two, but they are not crazy to smoke one after another. And there are so many people like of this kind.
I wanted to ask you a quite general question. Obviously, beer is a big part of Czech culture, but have there been visible changes in the kind of Czech drinking culture, say, in the last 20 years, 25 years, do you feel?
You should probably ask somebody else, because I'm not an expert in beer making and I'm not an expert in beer as general. I'm a fan. But one thing is very simple. 25 years ago, opening up a small brewery would be basically a way to bankruptcy. Because at the time, people were much more interested in cheapness and volume. These days, people care for quality, people care for diversity, and also people have more money, and obviously they want to spend it for better products. For example, some of our important clients are selling, you know, farming food, and they manage to sell, you know, like organic stuff twice as expensive as the stuff that you would buy from Agrofert, and it works. It's similar with beer. The trend is people want volume, but it's not their priority. And the more they would appreciate quality. 25 years ago, there were few breweries, most of them were industrialized, big. There was not much space for businesses like ours, for example, because we sell for, there's no way to avoid it. We produce more expensive, so we sell more expensive. And people actually appreciate it because we deliver something which is a little different and something that they want. 25 years ago, probably we would go bankrupt.
My guest there in one-on-one was Jan Korselt of Vinohradsky Pivovar. But that's all for now, folks. For me, Ian Willoughby, thank you very much indeed for listening to Radio Prague, and goodbye.